This hour brought to you by LibertyOnCall.org. Take back your independence, control, and make your own healthcare decisions. LibertyOnCall.org. Together, we are one.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
I see your hair is burning.
I got in the studio a little bit late because Austin Police Chief and his 8 foot tall assistant are in the control room here. Let's cut to Art Aceveda, Austin Police Chief, for TV viewers, standing by George Washington. There you go. We can cut to that shot and show him standing by George Washington over there. And I didn't know he's been trying to call me lately. He must have my old cell phone number or something. I had to discard my other cell phone because they gave it out all over the internet. But he's going to be joining us. We're going to punch it up and show him in the control room in a moment if we're able to do that. But we're going to be discussing with him the whole waterfront of things happening in the world, the election, the Second Amendment, where he thinks the future of policing is going. Is it going to be all militarized, or will it truly be community policing? Black Lives Matter. It is all coming up. You guys can't give me a shot in there? Oh, he got a phone call. I wonder why he ran off. He's usually right on time when he gets here, and then I saw him kind of run out of there, so I thought he was running to another camera or something. Well, let's cut to Nico in there. Nico, how are you doing there in the control room?
Is the mic open? I'm doing well. How are you?
You know, I'll tell you my problem. I don't go to the crew enough to where they're even, you know, kind of used to it. So that's why we're more and more going to start talking to the crew on a routine basis. But getting serious, we're going to go to break here in a moment. But first, this is Rand Paul saying that he is leaving the campaign to go back and defend his Kentucky seat. So here is the senator.
It's been an honor to participate in the 2016 Republican presidential primary. I'm proud of our principled campaign and the thousands of young people that have been energized by our message of limited constitutional government. Ours has been a unique voice in this race, one that says big government threatens Americans from all walks of life, rich and poor, black and white, from the coal miner who lost his job over President Obama's destructive EPA regulations to the teenager from a poor family facing jail time for marijuana. I will continue to fight for criminal justice reform, for privacy, and your Fourth Amendment rights. I will continue to champion due process over indefinite detention. I will continue to be a voice against the out-of-control regulation, spending, and debt that is crippling our country's economy and the future of our children. I will not ignore the terrible cost of decades of war and chaos in the Middle East and the unintended consequences of regime change and nation building. I will never forget the thousands of American soldiers who have given their lives and the thousands more who live every day with catastrophic injuries. These are the issues that have defined my campaign. Kelly and I are deeply grateful to our outstanding staff and tireless volunteers and supporters, people who believe in liberty. It has been a privilege to give voice to the liberty movement in this race, and I believe we have broadened the debate by being part of it. Although today I will suspend my campaign for the presidency, I will continue to fight on for liberty, for the Constitution, for justice in the United States Senate. Thank you, and God bless America.
And we are back live, ladies and gentlemen. There is Senator Rand Paul saying bye-bye and that he's not going to be running for president anymore. I personally think it overall is a mistake. He should stay in the campaign a while just for the political attention and then talk about what's happening in Kentucky because that's where they're trying to unseat him there, both political parties, which is a real endorsement of Senator Rand Paul that both political parties are against him. Both political parties are also against Ted Cruz to a great extent, but who they're really against is Donald Trump. And when you see the power structure against somebody, you can better believe that that means that overall they're good. Because we know the path we've been going down for a long time is a bad one. Why not change to something else? And we know Hillary and Jeb Bush are not that change, obviously. But there you go. He's going back to fight for his seat. Now, right here, Art Aceveda, we have the Austin police chief in here in studio with us. We're going to be discussing the waterfront with him straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Shower filters. We're introducing the best yet. The brand new ProPure ProMax High Performance Shower Filter. It removes and reduces over 200 contaminants while preserving a strong, powerful flow. This new four-stage filtration process helps protect the largest organ in your body, your skin, from the unhealthy contaminants in the water. You can find more details on this amazing new filter and free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139 to order your ProMax Shower Filter from ProPure today.
Hello. My name is Don Wiskin from HeartDrop.com, the distributors of Extendivite, the number one heart drop that people have been raving about for years. Every February, for the last 16 years, HeartDrop.com has had a Heart Month sale to help you stay heart healthy. For only $115 plus shipping and handling, you can get a four-month supply of Extendivite in either liquid or capsule form to help you get started on your path to better health. Now is the time to stock up. Order what you need. Stay heart healthy all year with the number one heart drop, Extendivite. To order your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Austin Police Chief, Art Aceveda, a very interesting fellow. Here in studio with us for the balance of the hour. We're just in here turning up his audio. And the reason I like having him in studio is he'll come in studio. Other Austin police chiefs that I ran into weren't really bad people, but they were very cloistered, let's say, kind of up in their high tower, and were really kind of afraid of the media. Art, you have not been afraid of the media, and you have a very, very interesting past. Of course, you're a Cuban immigrant to this country fleeing Fidel Castro, and so that's why you've always pointed out to me that, you know, you love liberty and freedom. So it's good to have you here with us, but you're also a popular police chief across the country. And I've got to say, as Austin's grown, normally they say police departments get worse as they get bigger because it's hard to control them. But I've really got to say it's true, and I think the press says it, the public say it, that Austin is a model police department.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me, especially coming from a person that has been a watchdog of government for his entire adult life. We're definitely not perfect. We have our issues. We have our challenges. But by and large, I wouldn't trade these officers for any in the country. They're phenomenal.
Well, you got in some trouble. I mean, not a lot of trouble a few years ago. You said, listen, at least our police aren't shooting people in the back every day. Talking about other departments. And again, other departments, I'm not even attacking them, but compared to a lot of these other departments, Austin also has really nice police on average, but they also tend to do their jobs at the same time compared to other cities I've been in.
Yeah, I mean, and it's important. The city of Austin is a progressive city. It's a successful city. It's a community that's very much engaged, as you know, and this entire region. And Texans, I think, they take their liberty very seriously, as should all Americans. And so, we're held to a pretty high standard as an organization. And our officers take a lot of pride working in a department where they know that that we're not going to set the bar high and talk about it. We're going to enforce that standard. And so, it's been 8.5 years that I've been here now. And I still remember the first time I came here and met you. And, remember you all reached out and, nobody didn't think I should come. Why wouldn't I come and talk to you? I think that transparency is important. I think engagement is important, and we don't have to agree on everything, but at least we should know where your police chief, and whether you agree with me or not, at least you'll know where I stand on issues.
Well, when I say cover the waterfront, I want to go wherever you want to go, and I also have some tough questions about policing, but also I want to just look at numbers, and I've got a whole stack of articles here. The listeners see these stories and hear these stories every few weeks, yeah. But I'm going to actually bibliograph these and go over the headlines in a moment, but we've got about 12,400 gun deaths a year out of 340-something million people.
Mm-hmm.
Death by guns is very, very rare compared to many other forms of death, like drowning or being hit by a car. 7,000-plus of those, and I have the numbers. We can put up the Justice Department numbers on screen showing crimes gone down using guns 50-plus percent since 1992, Justice Department's own numbers. You got 7,000-plus kill themselves with guns. So then you've got less than 5,000 other deaths, and most of those are criminals getting shot. And then you've got a couple thousand that are questionable, and maybe 1,000 of those are cops shooting people, and maybe 150 of those are the police in the wrong on the high end. So it's a hoax that there's this epidemic of gun crime, but it's also a hoax, the numbers don't lie, that police are killing people in cold blood. Now, but people can't have it both ways. You can't then be pro-gun and say, see, gun crime's way down, but oh my gosh, the police are demons, but you also can't say the police are demons, but guns are saving everybody. So where do you stand on those numbers?
Well, first of all, the numbers that I'm familiar with that I've seen is over 30,000 Americans die from gunshots every year. That includes accidental, that includes suicides, and that includes intentional gunfire. That's a lot of people that are dying. And the other day I saw an article where the accidental deaths with children that gunfire from kids getting their hands on guns is going up. And I think that, to me, some people think that because I don't believe that anybody should have a gun, that only law-abiding Americans of sound mind should have firearms, that I'm anti-Second Amendment. But I do believe in the Second Amendment, but I believe that with rights come responsibilities, and when children get their hands on guns because parents aren't keeping them secure and they end up accidentally shooting themselves or a playmate, that's the gun isn't the issue. It's irresponsible adults. And so that's what I focus on, my efforts.
Well, it varies a lot because I was going with numbers before the suicide rate exploded. They just put it on screen of the 20-something thousand gun deaths a year, depending on which number you look at. That's the Pew Research Center. 19,000-plus are suicides. Yeah. So my point is, the vast majority is suicide. That's their choice to take their own life. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but out of 300-plus million people, guns are still one of the more rare forms of death.
Well, I mean, we also have data that showed that last year we had about 378 what was called multiple victim shootings where you have four or more people.
But weren't most of those gang-related? I mean, that's not good.
A lot of them are, criminals. And so, again, I think that the way that we protect gun rights, the way we protect the Second Amendment, is that we as a society should do everything we can to keep those guns in the right hands. And that's in the hands of law-abiding Americans of sound mind.
Well, here's what I was getting at, though. I'm not even defending police in general. I'm defending the facts.
Yeah.
You might have 150 people, depending on how you look at the numbers, say 200, say 100. You know, these numbers all vary every year, that are killed by police where the officer was in the wrong.
Yeah.
Now, then the media makes the fact that police are killing everybody and there's an epidemic, this giant number one story, day in, day out, week in, week out. I started to ask, why is this when one of the rarest ways to die is a cop shooting you? Okay, so you know, the police shoot maybe 1,500 people a year, and then maybe 150 or so are in the wrong. That's a high number from our research. So all I'm saying is, just like guns are being scapegoated, police are being scapegoated. Now you seem to know the numbers, the latest ones, because new numbers just came out. We checked what you said. We pulled them up. It was accurate. What numbers do you have on police shootings every year?
Well, here's part of the challenge. First, there's a false narrative that is being, I think, promoted by some folks in the media that there are about 800,000 police officers representing 18,000 police departments. And there's this narrative that police officers, you would think, that are every day just going around whacking people with firearms, and it's simply not true. We have 800,000 cops representing about 18,000 police departments, and the facts still remain that the very, very vast majority of police officers will serve anywhere from 25 to 30 years. They'll never shoot at or shoot anybody, and they'll never seriously injure anybody. That's an absolute truth today. But here's the problem, Alex. We're not gathering data. You know, what's really frustrating is that the government has data on everything, and somehow we're not requiring police departments to report their use of force. I'm very proud of the fact that if you go to the Austin Police Department's website, you will see our use of force, you will see our shootings, you will see everything on there, because at the end of the day, data belongs to the community.
Sure, what I'm getting at is, I don't like all the asset forfeiture seizure. The whole drug war is a fraud because big banks and parts of our federal government have been caught shipping the drugs in. We can debate that if you want. I'm against the whole drug war. I'm against some of the things police are directed to do. But at the same time, to sit there with these incidences on TV to hype up the public, to create this culture of war with the police, has an in-game reason. And people like George Soros are funding it to make political rebellion in America be against the grassroots instead of getting the federal government back under control. Now, I know you're not an enemy of the federal government. I'm not either. But clearly there's a move, and I know you're more of a Democrat in this city, but there is a Democrat move to make...
You call me a Democrat?
Well, no, I'm just saying it's a Democrat city.
Oh, yeah, yes.
So you get along with them. Okay, well, are you a Democrat or Republican as a proud citizen?
I'm a center-right person. But I think that I think less about balance, and I think that for me, the problem with our government sometimes is that people are in these extreme silos on both sides of the aisle, and people don't want to work with each other, and it's in our nature as human beings to want to work with each other.
No, I understand that, but I mean, let's get to it then. What I'm saying is, do you agree with me that there's a clear agenda the last 7 years to scapegoat the police and local government and create a lot of tension that then the big foundations and Al Sharpton and the White House admittedly are running with George Soros, $35 million alone in Ferguson alone to hype that up into what that be, they want to change the subject onto that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know because I'm not familiar with that funding, what you're talking about, but I do know that the media keeps trying to paint a picture of American law enforcement police officers being these out-of-control goons when, in fact, police officers are better trained, better equipped, more professional, better educated today than they've ever been. Having said that, there's still some bad policing going on, and you cannot deny
Sure, of course there is.
That there's some bad policing.
So I'm asking the question, then, if you agree that there's a demonization going on, what do you think the end game is? It's not just media for ratings, because I've cut my teeth criticizing the police and going over all that. And I still do when it's needed until I realize it's a scapegoat from keeping people from being politically involved and changing the system. Instead, let's just have riots in every city. Then the feds come in and federalize the police, which is what Al Sharpton said the White House plan is with this whole UN-run Strong Cities Initiative.
Well, I can tell you that local control is a long-standing long-standing practice in this country, and folks like to have control over their own communities, and so it would be against the history of this country, the history of this nation, where communities want to be able to establish their own priorities, you know, what's important to them. And so I don't see, regardless of whether somebody has an agenda or not, I don't see it happening in our lifetime.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question then. Why do you think there would be an agenda on the left to make their number one political issue be about the police? We're going to skip this network break.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's their agenda or not. I can tell you that one of the things that I'm working with, which is called the Public Data Initiative with the White House, that I'm part of that initiative, is trying to provide as much data to the public as we can on, in terms of use of force, racial profiling, all of those things. And in my conversations with the White House as to why they want to do that, it's because they believe that you can't show whether the police department's doing a good job if people don't know the data on what's going on. And so, I mean, that initiative goes against kind of like goes a little bit against what you believe their end game is, because I really believe, and I think you would agree with this, that the vast majority of police officers in this country are honorable professionals, and I think that the more data that we provide to the sure. communities we serve, that will be the number one proof in the evidence is the data, and I think that the American people will make that same conclusion.
We have a little data package that is just department numbers. If you guys can find that and just kind of run it for TV viewers, I'll describe it for radio listeners. But it does show the Justice Department's numbers, the FBI numbers, from 92 until 2012. That's when the latest numbers came in, of a 50-plus percent drop in crime using guns from 30-something thousand pre-1992 a year to 12,000 to 15,000. You were showing me some numbers where suicide's up, and I'd forgotten that as the economy goes down, you're going to see more suicide. But just massive reductions in overall gun crime. We can also show the L.A. Times. Gun crime way down. Public thinks it's up. Kind of like when a new Jaws movie would come out, the public would think that, you know, great white sharks were eating everybody, but they eat about five people a year.
Well, I know that when that movie came out as a kid, I made sure there was always somebody deeper than me out in the ocean.
See, there you go.
Just in case, you got to have that little...
See, look, Chief, right there. Gun crime has plunged, but Americans think it's up, study says.
Yeah, but that's 2 years ago. That's May 7, 2013. And actually, there's a little discussion right now on the national level amongst local police chiefs about there has been some spikes recently. And
well, I agree, because the economy's falling apart.
Well, so the question is, some are saying the economy may not be doing as well. Others are saying that police officers are depolicing, which is the phenomenal police officers.
The opposite of profiling. They're just saying, yeah, I'm profiling. I'm not going to that neighborhood.
Well,
tell us about that.
Well, I mean, some police chiefs are, and some, there's a debate as to whether or not police officers, because of the constant barrage of criticism and around the nation, that some are asking, is there depolicing going on, which is the phenomenon where officers become risk averse and don't want to aggressively go out and keep people safe. And so that's kind of the debate's going on right now. L.A., if you go look at the L.A. Times now, their crime's been going up. And luckily here in Austin, I'm happy and proud to say that we're doing okay.
Sure. Well, as you know, statistics come out every few years, not every year. We're waiting for new numbers to come out. And I agree with you, just looking at the news, robberies, things like that have gone up some. Still, they're way down from the 90s
from
and 80s.
From historic.
But they're starting to come up a little bit.
But they're starting to come up, yeah. So if you look at the long-term data, it's still down, but it is coming up from what it's been in recent years. And so you never want to see violent crime going up. And so the question is it the economy? Is it depolicing? And that's what social scientists are debating right now.
Undoubtedly, since the 90s, there's been massive proliferation of gun ownership and concealed carry, and I really don't think overall it can be argued, disagree with me if you think, because you're an expert, that overall concealed carry and lawful citizens starting to carry guns has frustrated criminals that would be the type that would carjack and mug people.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, our concealed hunting license licensees here are by and large very just really responsible gun owners. They take it very seriously, you know, but it's never enough. And so I really worry about, you know, now we have open carry and now they want constitutional carry. And, you know, I'm not in favor of constitutional carry, and that makes me a communist to a lot of people. I believe that if you are a convicted felon, you should not you should be prohibited from owning a firearm. But I also believe that at some point, depends on the nature of the felony, that you should be able to restore your rights. I don't think this should
Sure, because what if it's a white-collar bounce a check and you can't own a gun?
Right. So.
Well, listen, if it was enforced properly, I'm not against felons, too. But the problem is they're always wanting to expand it.
Well, it's that slippery slope. But I don't think we should use the fear of the slippery slope to block, attempts to keep firearms in the hands of the, again,
sure,
by the Americans or someone.
Well, I'll tell you why the establishment left is against the police in general. They want to demonize it so they can take it over, so they can regulate it. And it's a good cop, bad cop, where one side of the White House is attacking the police, then the other side comes in and says, do this and we'll take care of you. So they have the surrogates attack, and then the guys on top come in playing good cop and say, we're going to help you do A, B, and C, and then we'll make sure you're left alone. But the reason they hate police, fundamentally, if you go back to the 60s and the whole leftist communist ideology, is even though they're not communists probably today, unless you're Bernie Sanders, they still have this mindset of bomb the police, shoot the police, the pigs are the problem. When we take over the government, we're going to deal with it. And so there's an ingrained animosity in the left, and that's what they're doing. That's what they're pushing. I have personally seen it in Austin with the communist brigades and the rest of them coming out and attacking us. And there's this idea that when the left attacks people, they're just allowed to do it. And I've never been somebody who was left or right. I'm a libertarian. But I got to tell you, under the left in this country, they are trying to take over the nation, and they know that the average police officer, even if they're socially liberal, gets that guns protect us overall 9 times out of 10, gets basic common sense, lives in the real world, isn't domesticated, and the nanny state is fundamentally against police. And when the left is done taking the American citizens' guns, they're then going to try to disarm the police. And that's actually in these UN treaties. And we have Austin Police Chief Art Aceveda here breaking all this down with us today. Do you disagree or agree with all that?
Again, we work very closely with the Obama administration on several initiatives that I really think that the intent of those initiatives is to provide a lot of information and transparency to the communities that we serve. And to me, that transparency and that information that they're encouraging police departments around the country to provide is going to build trust. So it's going to have the opposite effect of your theory there. But, you know, that's for you to that's your position. I can just tell you, based on my conversations, I've actually had the privilege of meeting with the president and talking about some of these issues involving law enforcement, and I sure hope that you're wrong, because that's my take, is that his intentions are good, that he's trying to build trust,
sure,
by providing data and transparency.
Well, look, I'm not just here trying to get you to say some zinger attacking the president. The president's about to be out of office.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly, though, when this whole Black Lives Matter thing gets cranked up, and then three cops in a week get shot in the back of the head, or up in Philadelphia, a jihadi comes up and shoots somebody, or San Bernardino, we see a jihad attack, and it came out, the FBI was ordered by the White House to not say it was a jihadi. Now, come on, Police Chief Art Aceveda, clearly there's an attempt to cover up police murders generally and not point out they're political, and that there's an agenda to shoot cops while they're pumping gas, and there's an agenda to cover up jihad attacks from this administration.
Well, I think that the issue is you don't want to paint something with a broad brush until you have the information. I think that the FBI initially, we had conversations actually with the director of the FBI initially. We don't want to demonize the Muslim community. I think that's one of the issues I have as a police chief, is that people become radicalized, whether it's by gang members, by a right wing extreme group that want, like this guy that went shooting up my city from the Phoenix priesthood.
No, you're right. Yeah.
You know,
so you're saying not including them makes them get radicalized, and so that's why we should reach out, just like you've reached out to my show 8 years ago.
So
go out and pat the radicals on the head.
Yeah.
They'll be nice.
You know, listen, everybody, the more we can do as human beings and make people feel welcome and belong, it's important. I think that with the San Bernardino incident, initially, until the FBI has the ability to actually connect the dots, they don't want to say it's Muslim extremism. I mean, it could have been workplace violence, right? But for their religion, that's all we had, is that they're Muslim when the shooting took place. You know, what's the difference between that and the guy that goes post at the post office that happens to be a guy that looks a lot like Alex
Jones?
Sure,
but let's expand on that when we come back, Chief. You keep going for a minute here. White supremacist groups like the Phineas Priesthood, whatever, I don't care if you demonize them, because those are groups that need to be demonized. And radical Islam needs to be demonized because it's horrible. It's out of control. And so I don't think it's...
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. But we cannot paint all Muslims with a very broad brush. The vast majority is that the facts remain that the vast majority of Muslims are peaceful people, people of faith, and a lot of them are coming here. Why? Because they don't want to be dealing with ISIS. That don't want the...
Oh, I totally agree with you. I mean, I have lots of Muslim friends I went to college with, nice people, and they all didn't want to be in that. That's why they came here.
Absolutely.
We'll be back with Art Acevedo, Austin Police Chief. I'm Alex Jones.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Chronic inflammation is now known to block your ability to repair and compromises your immune system, making you more vulnerable to all diseases. Since poor diet, injuries, or stress are all contributing factors, many people suffer from inflammation. Your body's number one means of neutralizing the inflammation and the pain that it may be causing is glutathione. Glutathione is the body's number one peptide to neutralize free radicals and thus stop inflammation.
Hi, my name is Jason. I'm 44 years old. For 10 years, I had been suffering from chronic pain in my abdomen and groin that radiated down into my feet. After 3 weeks on One World Way, the pain in my feet reduced by 50%, and the overall pain in my body reduced significantly as well. I ran out of One World Way, and the pain returned. I got another container, and again, after 3 weeks, the pain reduced significantly throughout my body. I'd highly recommend One World Way to anyone dealing with chronic pain due to inflammation.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
For all of recorded history, civilizations around the world praised the health benefits of silver. At InfoWars Life, our mission is to bring you the highest quality, purest, cleanest, effective colloidal silver on the market today for the lowest price available. Now, InfoWarsLife.com has taken colloidal silver to the next level using a cutting-edge technique that is free of toxic artificial additives. InfoWarsLife.com developed a silver bullet by closely working with one of the top silver manufacturing labs in the United States. We set out to bring you the very best at the lowest price. Find out more about the proprietary development of Silver Bullet at InfoWarsLife.com. In these times, it's essential to have high-quality colloidal silver on hand. No survival chest is complete without Silver Bullet. Exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Secure your Silver Bullet today at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I got to ask some tough questions of Austin Police Chief Art Acevedo before he leaves us here in about 25 minutes.
Wait one second, but I got to tell a story about you. I have to.
All right.
I went to Norway to make a presentation, so I'm in the middle of a city in Norway, big city, the capital, which is Oslo. I don't remember Oslo, I think it was. And this Nigerian kid is a Nigerian immigrant, and I'm going to look right at that camera of the audience. In Norway, I hope you watch this. I can't remember your name. Tries to sell me some energy or something. Well, I'm sorry, my friend. I'm from Austin.
What's the energy?
Some subscription to some energy company.
I don't know,
electric company. And I said, I'm sorry, I'd love to help you, but I'm from Austin, Texas. And this kid from Nigeria in Norway, his eyes get this big. He goes,
Austin, Texas. Do you know Alex Jones? I just started, Alex Jones? Yes. I said, I know Alex Jones. I'm on his show all the time. He is brilliant. Oh, Lord. And I said, only Alex Jones can be reaching out all the way to a Somali kid living in...
Or a Nigerian kid.
I'm excuse me, Nigerian. No, I'm sorry, it was Somali. Not
Somali,
Nigerian.
Wow.
I said Nigerian is my misspoke. So I actually did an interview, I videotaped it of him.
And then you said you tried to get it to him.
I tried to get it to you.
You must have my old number. Well, I want to see this interview. You still got it.
I got to find it. I've got to get it. Go, hey, folks, sorry. I'm here. What's your name?
And then you also have your Alex Jones imitation, which is...
Oh, that's it. Alex Jones, he's crazy.
Let me ask you this. Who do you really like for president?
Oh, I don't know.
By the way, you teased me earlier today.
I mean, I don't police uniform.
You said, you teased me earlier today, and you said, Alex, I really can't be friends much longer or whatever because, you know, they're about to arrest you. And then I said, are you serious? You said, no, I'm joking. But I said, the reason I get a little concerned is you were here about a year and a half ago, and I want to get into the story because I was asked not to get into it by the police out in California because they thought he might be with other groups. And you said, hey, you know, there's been some crazy guy, you know, here in town, a couple of them that we've stopped, and then... I said, no, I haven't heard of this. He said, well, you're going to hear about it very, very soon. And then about a week later, I got contacted by the detectives out in California. I don't know how much you knew about it at the time, but I thought you were joking that day. Yeah. And then it was true. And then it really, you know, made me appreciate the Austin Police Department, you know, actually being aware of what was going on just off the guy's social media. So it kind of makes it a paradox because I'm against NSA spying. And I'm against going into people's private stuff and spying on them, obviously, and so are you. But then I have this article about the Austin Police Department goes and friends people on Facebook so that they can, with keywords, track calls for violence and things like that. So how do you balance that? Obviously, if something's public, because when I talked about this last time, people said, that's it, he's endorsed the NSA spying illegally, he's a total sellout. No. The Austin Police Department is monitoring people on social media saying they're going to come kill me and then alerting authorities in other jurisdictions when it's happening. How do you say now, oh, this is a horrible idea? So there's the paradox.
I mean, everything's a balance. And I think that people, you know, what we look for as a police department is I don't care who you want to vote for. I don't care if you even want to say, hey, we need to overthrow the government. No, to me, overthrowing the government, there's a way to do it legally. And there's a way to do it illegally. And legally means you organize and you vote and you get rid of the party or whoever you want to get rid of. But when people start talking about hurting people or hurting themselves or killing or doing anything that would do harm to others, I believe that that's what we're looking for. And I know that's what we're looking for and that's what we should be looking for. And I don't think that's a bad thing. That's not something I'm going to apologize for because... You know, your views sometimes can be extreme in the minds of others, maybe not extreme enough for others. And if somebody wants to hurt you or your family or one of your listeners or viewers, and we should be looking for those type of threats. And so I'm not going to apologize for that. Now, if we're going to go try to get into somebody's personal account, then I believe that you must have probable cause and you must use a search warrant. But people know that there is no privacy out there when you tweet stuff and things of that nature. And so there's no expectation of privacy. What would happen is if we didn't find it, if we didn't look for it, and then something seriously happened, we would be crucified for saying it was right out there in the open, and the police department didn't even bother do anything about it.
Well, I've noticed the police department and the feds don't respond to stuff like, you know, I'd love to kill Alex. Well, they can tell that's some guy that says that all the time about a bunch of people. It's not real. But when somebody's all on there planning it all out and how they were there and how they're getting ready to do it, I mean, you can tell that has to be responded to.
Absolutely. And I think that we have a moral obligation to be on the lookout for credible threats and to investigate.
Well, in the case of San Bernardino, 2 years before, the FBI was specifically investigating that mosque and those two individuals, and then they were ordered to stand down by the Justice Department, saying it was politically incorrect. They even investigated those officers, those agents, with a task force, and then notice what happened. And then that got swept under the rug, but that was even in the California newspapers. So there you go, where people's hands are being tied because of political correctness, and that leads me to some of the articles. Dealing with traffic deaths here in Austin, the Austin American Statesman, I'm not against people from Mexico or Latin America or China. but a lot of them have never driven, or in those countries, I mean, I've been in Mexico, people drive like maniacs in big cities, you ignore all the traffic signs, it's not a cliche, it's a fact. Same thing in China, they get here, they drive like maniacs, and I've talked to the prosecutors who've come here off record, and they say the judges give them $10 fines or nothing, including for DWIs. Now, I know you're going to deny all this because you have to, but I mean...
You won't hear me deny we're too lenient on people.
Really?
No, I think we're too lenient. I mean, this is... Listen, Alex, we've had people drunk driving kill two people. Two people, and we give them probation. And it's not just... It's not really the... Here's part of the problem is that, you know, you can be sentenced by a jury, and sometimes
you are so good changing the subject. The illegals are the lion's share of it. They're getting away with everything. Why is that?
No, it's not the illegals. I mean, we are looking at data right now, just so you all
know. Okay, well, I've been backhanded like three times in the last 20 years in Austin. It's always an illegal that doesn't speak English.
Well, just because it doesn't speak English doesn't mean they're illegal.
You're making
an assumption there.
What if they got Mexican plates like happened once?
Well, then they're probably visiting here. I don't know. But here's what we're looking at right now, just so you know, because we're looking at data right now on fatalities and hit and runs and where we can determine how many are unlicensed and suspended drivers. And we may be looking to ask the council for authority to impound vehicles of people that are driving with a suspended license.
Ooh,
and so,
that's good.
Well, we're looking at the data to see if we can build...
Because why should I have to... Well, here's an example. They're letting flights come into JFK from outside the U.S. and not even checking any of their IDs. They're quote, completing the smuggling process in McAllen, where the Border Patrol's ordered to load people on buses and ship them out of the country. But then I'm supposed to show all my ID and go through all these hoops. Now, if you deny those stories or say you don't know about them, I'll put them on screen. Look at that. 150 on flight from Mexico allowed to skip customs, leave JFK airport. They keep doing it over and over again. I can play the clip of the emergency.
Yeah, no, I mean, my job is to keep the city of Austin safe. We're the second safest city, and that's what I'm going to focus on. And if that's going on, I'd have a problem with that.
So you tell your officers whether somebody is a drunk driver from Germany, China, South Africa, or Mexico, or Austin, Texas, arrest them.
Yes. Absolutely. And some people think we're a sanctuary city, and we're not. I mean, we don't focus. If you're a day laborer at the Home Depot and guys are there that may be undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants, whatever term you want to use, it's not. I don't have the resources to go do ICE's job and go try to get those guys. But for their immigration status, they're not bothering anybody. But if you're out there committing crimes and stealing and robbing and drunk driving, we don't care whether you're legal or illegal. We're going to come after you. And if the federal government, ICE, comes to this city and tells me, hey, we've identified 15 MS-13 or some other drug trafficking organization or terrorist organization and they're illegal immigrants and we need your help, we're going to cooperate fully and go after those people because we are not a sanctuary city. There is no sanctuary for those that want to do harm to people that live, work, and visit Austin, Texas.
Well, Austin is rated as one of the safest cities in the country. That's not hype. And you talk about, well, we're progressive. I think it's the mix of Texas politics and art and culture and also the fact there's a lot of money here, so people, a lot of them have good jobs compared to the rest of the country. I don't think we're economically as bad off as many areas. I think that's one of the big reasons. But also, we have a model police department overall from my research. But at the same time, look at other progressive cities like Chicago and New York. And I know there's some good cops in those cities, but there's also some really bad ones. I mean, I've been up there. I've seen them treat tourists in D.C. and New York. Nice families, like total crap. I have talked to Austin police that have been treated bad in New York by police. I've been in New York with cops with their bellies hanging out, smoking cigars with their hats on sideways. And I have video of this. And I just look at that, and that is shameful. And I don't know, is that the unions up there or what creates that? Or maybe you disagree with that stereotype.
Well, listen, New York PD's got over, I think, 38,000, 40,000 police officers. You're going to end up having some rude people, just like I'm sure I've got rude people. I know I have rude people because I have to deal with them. But you also will look at NYPD trying to keep 7 million, 8 million, whatever that population is, that is an absolute target from violence extremist, Muslim extremist groups, and they do a pretty phenomenal job under some really challenging circumstances. So are there some rude people there? Yeah, but there's rude reporters, there's good and bad in everything. But on balance, I think when you look at their department, 38,000 strong, whatever it is now, they're pretty decent.
Well, here's what I know.
And I'm not here to defend NYPD.
No, I hear you. But expanding on that, we know the police are bad in North Korea.
Well, the state is bad in North Korea. That's why when you call me communist, I get really upset.
Well, I mean, I know you let your dad helped fight the communists, didn't he?
My father smuggled men up and down the country. We hid men in our house, anti-communist fighters. And so when these people call me communist, it's like, first of all, they have no clue what a communist is, and they're even. They have no clue what they're talking about.
Sure. When I said you're acting like a communist, supporting some of that gun control,
yeah,
and then saying that the mayor pro tem didn't say, after we register, we're going to do that, that's when I was...
But see,
I don't literally think you're a communist.
I'm not advocating gun control. I'm advocating people control, controlling what people...
No, I know, but when I say... If Arde Saavedra wants to support this gun control, he ought to go back to Cuba and be a communist. That's what I was saying.
Okay. Pull that tape, please. I'm not sure that's exactly how he said it.
I don't remember exactly what I said. Well, what did I say?
Oh, yeah, he's a communist, that communist. But, you know, it's okay. It's all, you know.
I already said I was sorry for that.
You did. We still love you.
Anyways.
Now you get beat up for being too nice to me by your viewers.
No, I don't get beat up for that. No. Here's what's happened with me. And if you want me, I can give you a whole file on it, but I know you actually know all this. Okay, you know this. I've talked to a lot of police. They all know it. I have found that the police are the second most awake group in this country. The military, combat vets, people that have actually been in, special forces people. Let's just say 99% of the special forces people I've gotten to know, like, you know, Tim Kennedy, you name it, are totally awake. General enlisted and others, you know, 60, 70, 80% awake. Mid-level officers into high level are awake. And then the next awake group is police on average. So why should a patriot or somebody that's into restoring the republic get fixed into this whole thing that our problem is the police instead of reforming the overall system? And then I see Soros, not just here, but in Ukraine, in Syria, and all over running anti-police programs that they then use to overthrow the government. That's what they did in Ukraine. He brags he did that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, they're running a real leftist movement to build the beginnings of violent revolution in this country with the sacrificial lamb of the police. And so I'm here warning the police about that. And the police tell me, look, we already know that. We've known that for 30, 40 years. But yes, we see that happening. So to me, it's a natural ally with the police and especially the military. If they're so awake, why should we, the patriots, be tricked into an adversarial position?
Well, you said a lot right there, but the bottom line is that the police is the people. We are the people. We are members of the community. We come from the community. We don't bring them from another planet. We're the children of your neighbors. We're your neighbors, and we will always stand for what's right. And on balance, I think that American policing is still the best in the free world.
Well, I've got the article here where it does have you saying that you should impound the vehicles of those without licenses. And so are you guys just going to use the license plate reading cameras? How many license plate reading cameras are you guys hooked into?
We really were just starting to get some now. We're having some we had some problems with the technology in the first generation. You know, LPRs, a lot of people don't like them.
I don't like them.
But, you know, it's a great investigative tool that if you get kidnapped by one of the crazies that might want to try and kidnap to try to recover you. You know,
I'd be glad for it to be turned on for specific people you're hunting for,
right.
but that's constitutional. But what about when they grab all of it?
But Alex, here's the problem. Grabbing the data isn't the problem. It's how you use the data. And so let's say we had an LPR on 35, hypothetically, which we don't have, by the way, so everybody don't go freak out. We don't go in there unless we have a specific reason, and we find out that we're looking for a white car that ran, you know, killed somebody or robbed a bank, and we can use that LPR information for legitimate police purposes, because you don't have a expectation of privacy when you're driving down the street. You don't, or walking down the street. I think it's not technology that we need to fear. It's misuse of technology. And so we have
But here's what I'm getting at. If you know a certain car with a certain plate has committed a crime, then you turn the, I know they have these filters, you turn it on just to look for that plate or a group of plates, and then it's disregarding, just like they've done in California for a decade, police plates and other plates of government because you don't want them in the databases. You have to program it that way. Then it could be used for kidnap kids or bank robbers or things. But just gathering it all, I mean, I've seen the documentary, so they're just driving around through a parking lot, and this person's got a warrant, this person's, you know, doesn't have a license. And then you know full well, like the illegals standing in front of a Home Depot. You guys are going to go through, and the illegals aren't going to have, you know, the proper plates. They're going to be left alone. But then the fat, plump citizen, whether they be Hispanic, white, or black, they're going to get pulled over because they don't have insurance, and the license plate reader shows that they haven't followed that, so they're going to get the ticket.
Yeah, but that's not what we would ever use LPRs for. LPR, for me, is a tool that we would use to investigate serious crime.
By the way, you do have LPRs all over the place because you hook into the federal LPRs to the Threat Fusion Center.
You gotta love Alex Jones. Nothing gets past him, huh?
Oh, I do that 20 years ago. What about the microphones you guys got up all over town?
By the way, we
the gunshot detectors that are really microphones?
We need to know when you're leaving town because we haven't changed the battery in yours in a while at the house.
All you got to do is dial into my home security system. It's already got it all set up for you.
I don't have cameras inside my house. They're all over the outside of the house, but not inside the house.
I was about to say, don't stick them inside.
I don't stick them inside. And we share some of the same concerns. I don't want cameras inside my house. I put them outside my house.
Well, they admit that Hackers Forever have the whole databases of those.
Yeah, so and so that's the point. People can hack into your system and try to get inside your house.
Well, that's another reason I don't think that they should have GPS on all the police cars and make them have cameras on at all times, because then it sets the precedent where everybody has to do that, and we're all being monitored by Big Brother.
Yeah, well, we want the automatic vehicle locators. It's an officer safety component for us, just like we're actually going to get them on these radios.
Always for the safety.
Right here. Well, when my officer goes in foot pursuit and we can't find
him. No, I know it's all got good uses.
But everything good can be misused. That's
my
why
dad was
be
59
good.
When he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now, for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Today, more than ever, it's imperative that you protect your digital privacy. EDEC Digital Forensics Signal Blocking Anti-Radiation Anti-Surveillance Faraday Bags shield the contents of your phones, tablets, and key fobs from 4G, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, NFC, and more. Find us at edecdf.com/radio or call us now at 805-222-4584. That's 805-222-4584. Radio listeners get 20% off your order.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day. But growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Look, it's really simple, folks. George Soros wants us to get in a war with the police so they can then have a big enough crisis to go after the guns. They want to stir up a civil war. It's why I was against the known operatives that were out there at the Oregon situation trying to stir that up. I told folks exactly how that would end. This is idiocy. We're winning politically with libertarian ideas. We're Republicans who aren't perfect but represented more than Democrats are winning almost all the governorships, almost all the new congressional seats. It's a total sweep happening right now. That's why MSNBC is preaching race war in the name of fighting racism. Political correctness has gotten so bad, they are now in Oregon State trying to pull down quotes of Martin Luther King saying he was a racist. I'm not kidding. And in Seattle, don't have brown paper bags, it's racist. So they want to create just this hysteria where we're all fighting with each other because black unemployment has doubled under Obama. He has to change the subject. Now, obviously, if a Donald Trump gets in or a Ted Cruz, we're going to hold their feet to the fire. But I've never seen such balkanization. Let me ask you that question, Austin Police Chief Art Aceveda. You're with us this little short segment and one more, and I appreciate you coming in on your busy schedule. Who are you as a private citizen liking in the campaign? What do you think of Donald Trump?
It was entertaining. I just hope he doesn't deport me. I'm just telling him, don't deport me, bro, because I'm an immigrant.
You're a U.S. citizen.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And but, you know, I just anybody that throws their hat in the ring for something, regardless whether they're Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or Green Party, whoever, they're at least participating. And I will just tell your listeners that the number one thing that you can do to protect liberty and to impact the political process in this country is vote. Vote. Your vote matters. Please vote. I don't care who you vote for. You can vote for whoever you want.
What's it like to see Ted Cruz? You know, his dad was an anti-communist guy, just like your dad. I know your dad was involved with the CIA and a bunch of other stuff. Cruz's dad has a similar type background fighting Castro. I mean, Rubio, it's fake. They were here way before. His dad was a bartender. I'm not knocking that, but they don't have that anti-communist background, so I get why you get mad at that. Yeah. I mean, Cruz really is a smart guy. Does it give you some pride to see, a Cuban-American right there in the lead for president?
I mean, it just gives me pride to see that only in this country, whether it's the son of a Kenyan, you know, and President Barack Obama, or the son of a Cuban immigrant and an American mother and Ted Cruz. I mean, it just gives me pride that we live in a nation. Only in this country can the offspring of those men from other countries, Hispanic and African American, only in this country.
Folks do forget that in other countries, it's very hard. Like, why did Italians come here? Because it was a caste system. If you came from a cobbler that made shoes, that's what you had to be. Or go down. You couldn't go up.
I mean, this is a great country. I mean, with warts and all, you know, my old man used to say that that anti-communist old man used to say, kids, from here to the moon, there's no better place on earth.
Well, looking at that, communism produces a few people on top. I don't get how they sell it as a people's ideology, or Bernie Sanders, who really does promote communism, not socialism, which is bad enough. I mean, how are they selling socialism in America when it doesn't work?
Well, I don't know if they're selling it. I can just tell you that my dad used to say, hey, communism is great as long as you're the government eating steak every day while everybody else is getting, you know, a pound of rice for 30 days. A good communist to me, the answer.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like a right-wing extremist statement over here.
I mean, hey, I have no use for communists. I just don't.
Well, you're right, is that it's total slavery everywhere it's implemented. And then
no, it's a slavery to the state.
We've got five more minutes, and then, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue on here today. We've got David Knight coming up. Dr. Edward Group's going to be in studio, and we've got the proof, the Zika virus, the Rockefeller Foundation, they own it. Isn't that sweet? It's all coming up back in 70 seconds with the third hour.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.